As Cindy mentioned, this is our first Sunday in the Advent, or beginning to talk about Christmas. We'll be starting a new series this morning called Perfect Timing, and it's based off Galatians 5. We'll talk about that in a minute. But as we talk about timing, I tend to run late. Sometimes, I don't know why it happens, sometimes we all run late at times. You wake up too late, and so you get up late, and then you end up being late kind of through the rest of the day. Sometimes it's just a matter of you think you can do more than really what you have time to do, and so you start working on things, and then you look at your watch and go, oh my, I'm late. We all run late. Sometimes I feel like this. Guys, you ready for the video? All right. Got sound on it too? The things we do when we feel like we're running late, trying to fit more things into our time, and that's how a lot of us are sometimes, is we're running late. But we serve a God who is never late. God is always on time. God has perfect timing for all time. His perfect timing started at creation when God created time. I mentioned that our series is based off of Galatians 4, 4, and 5, and those verses say this: but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. We're going to take each of those sections and look at that particular part of verse and other scripture that may apply. This morning we're going to talk about God sending forth his Son and the perfect timing that happened during, that we celebrate this time of year. Galatians 4 tells us that in God's infinite wisdom, he waited until the perfect time. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. John 3:16, many of you are familiar with, says this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I want to break down this verse this morning. First part is for God. The many attributes of God. For God is spirit. God is eternal. God is all powerful. God is ever present. God is sovereign. God is holy. He is truth. He is righteous. He is just. He is loving. He is merciful. He is gracious. He is faithful. He never changes. He's transcendent and immanent, meaning he's above his creation, but he chooses to work within his creation. He is all-knowing, and God knows everything, and because God knows everything, he knew the perfect timing of when it was to send his Son to this earth, to be born of a virgin, He knew there would be shepherds out in a field watching over their flocks by night. He knew there would be wise men off in a distance who would see a star. God knew everything in his perfect timing. For God so loved. For God so loved in this, 1 John 4 says, the love of God was made manifest among us that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. God is love, and it's emphasized not only in John 3:16, but 1 John chapter 4 emphasizes the love of God. And God chose to show us his love in a tangible, physical, tangible way. God's love was exactly what all of humanity needed. And that focus of his love, matter of fact, the focus of all of God's attributes, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world, Genesis 1:1 tells us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth, Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. God created the fish and the sea. He created the birds and the air. He created the land and all the creatures, including humanity. And he created light and he put galaxies in their places. God chooses to show his love to the world. And the greatest action he did that was in his giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. At Christmas time, we often will give gifts to family and friends. Maybe you have a favorite memory of receiving a gift. I have several. One was my first guitar. I don't still have my first guitar. I sold it after I used it for quite a while. I wanted a better one, so I sold my first guitar, but I remember getting that first guitar, seeing this weirdly shaped box under the Christmas tree and kind of knowing what it was. But getting excited about seeing it there and beginning to learn how to play in the years of that coming to fruition in my life. But God chose to give us a gift. And maybe we give gifts because the wise men came and gave gifts to the baby Jesus of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and they offered their treasures to him. But God also gave us his greatest treasure as well. He gave us his greatest treasure in his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave us a gift that far outweighs any of the gifts we have ever received besides that of his Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. God gave his only Son. God's love was poured out towards the earth by giving us the only true gift that we really needed. That was his only Son. Jesus is the child of God. He is God in the flesh, sent down to earth in physical form. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That whoever, the gift of God is open to anyone. It's available to all who want to receive it. little children's songs. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves all the children, whether they're young or old or different from different nations. But he doesn't just love the children, he loves all the adults too. God loves everyone, and he made salvation available to anyone who wanted to receive it. But that whoever also lets us know that not everyone is going to accept that. We know that. That not everyone is going to accept what God came to do for them. There will only be a few who will understand and place their faith in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him, that faith is important. Jesus Christ is the focus of our belief. Jesus is the one that God sent in order that we could place our faith and trust in him. Once a person believes in Jesus Christ, their relationship with God is reestablished. It was broken because of sinfulness. No longer do they live for themselves, but they begin to learn how they can live for God, how they can please him. That whoever believes in him, Jesus Christ, was the gift that was given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I want you to understand this morning, eternal life is not the gift that God gave. Jesus Christ is the gift that God gave, and eternal life comes about because of Jesus coming here on earth. There are many people who, at least during my era, were getting saved because they wanted to be saved from the fiery doom that is hell. They wanted eternal life, but they weren't getting a relationship with Jesus Christ. They were just getting saved from the fire. We call that fire insurance. They wanted their fire insurance in case they were going to hell. But that was not the relationship with Jesus Christ. The relationship with Jesus Christ only comes with faith and trust in him, not faith and trust in eternal life. Eternal life is a result of what Jesus came to do. Eternal life is a result of placing your faith and trust in him, walking in such a way that you follow him and you believe him. God sent his son, and Jesus arrived on this earth as a baby. I remember when Stacy was pregnant with Ellie. In case you don't know this, guys and girls experience pregnancy very differently. Duh. Stacy had a baby in her belly for 9 months, and Ellie was very active. Ellie was an extremely active baby. I mean, I think she was dancing before she even came out into the world. She was just that active. She was always moving around and always doing things. And Stacy was able to experience that. Now, I would put my hand on there and get to feel every once in a while and that kind of stuff. And I heard the heart beating in the monitor when we went to the doctors. And I got to experience the ultrasound and see little baby Ellie moving around. But it was all kind of surreal to me until the day came. The long experience that is Ellie's birth, and some of you know about that. We were in the hospital for about 59 and a half hours. It started on a Friday night, and Ellie was born on a Monday morning. We were in the hospital for a long time. Stacy was in labor for about 18 and a half hours. Finally, they decided to do a C-section. They took her in for surgery, and I remember this is like 4:30 in the morning. We hadn't slept for I don't remember how long, and so they're getting me in all this gown and stuff so I can be in there, and I go in, and I'm still like, it's surreal, and it's like a dream. And then they start doing the surgery, and all of a sudden this baby is there. There's this real baby, and the baby starts to cry, and as soon as you hear that cry, you're like, oh, that's good. I know that's a good sound. That's supposed to happen. And so you hear the baby cry, and they take the baby over, and they clean the baby off, and then all of a sudden they hand me this baby. There's this baby laying on me. I don't know what to do. All of a sudden it becomes very, very, very real to me. Because now I have a baby laying on me. I was just sat there. I was afraid to move. That fear of, am I going to drop it? I don't want to drop it. It just came into the world. It was suddenly just very real. But maybe Jesus coming to the earth has seemed kind of abstract to you. Maybe you just think about it, that it happened so very long ago, but God sent his real son. It's as real as me holding both of my daughters for the first time. God sent Jesus here in physical form, and Mary gave birth to the Savior of the world, God in flesh. Isaiah says this, "For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." When the angel came to Mary and announced that she was going to be pregnant, that she was going to give birth to the Savior of the world, it was to do with the prophecy that was spoken so long ago by Isaiah. Isaiah wrote that the child that would be born would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us, God in the flesh. And as sure as I'm standing here before you today, Jesus was here on this earth. Jesus was here in person, in the flesh. But many missed him. Many missed welcoming him. Only a few shepherds were there that day. Only a few animals were surrounding Jesus in the manger. Many missed him. There are days I come home from work, and before my feet even set down inside the house, I hear, "Daddy!" Sometimes there's an echo, "Daddy, Daddy!" Sometimes there's two, and then I hear these little feet running towards me. "Your daddy!" I love those moments. They come up and they run and they wrap themselves around my leg, and then I'm trying to get in the door. But there are those days, and I think we all have them, where I get home from work and my mind is still thinking about something else, or I'm still trying to figure out something. And I walk in the door and I hear, "Daddy," and I'm like, "Oh, hi." And I just walk in, and I miss that. I miss they're welcoming me in, and sometimes I think we do that with the Christmas season as well. We miss welcoming Jesus again. This year, time of year can be so full of events and parties and activities and things to do and trying to get all the right gifts for people and all of that kind of stuff. We try to do all these things and we miss the actual reason we celebrate this time of year. We miss thinking about Christ, celebrating him, celebrating his birth on the earth. We miss the opportunity to remember Jesus' arrival and spend time focusing on what his coming actually meant. So don't miss Jesus' arrival this year. I have some ideas this morning of how to think about Jesus this year, but it's not limited to this list. There's all sorts of things you can do. One is to listen to Christmas music. Some of you, as soon as Thanksgiving, like Friday, was over, you turned on your Christmas music and you're not going to stop. Like, you've got that Christmas music on all the time. And that's one way to welcome in, is to think about Jesus coming, and there's a lot of Christmas songs out there. Another way is to read through the Christmas story. Make sure you read through the Christmas story to remember the events that happened around Jesus' birth. Another thing I heard this week is there are 24 chapters in the book of Luke. If you read through one chapter a night, would have been starting last night, on the 24th, you will finish with the 24th chapter, and you'll have read through the entire book of Luke, and you'll know why Jesus came. You'll be able to think through the events of Jesus' life and celebrate his birth and what all of that meant. Maybe it's putting up your nativity and talking about each of the characters. If you have small children, just letting them think about the events of Jesus' life. Maybe it's watching a nativity movie or attending a real-life event. We're going to the Bethlehem Live tonight in Goshen. That's an event that gets us thinking about the Christmas season, gets us thinking about what it maybe was like for Mary and Joseph to be out in the cold, out in the rain, out in the outside when they were looking for a place to have a baby. I know Bremen also does their Holy Walk as well, and that's next weekend. There are events to help us remember what Jesus came to do. Another thing is to help others who are in need. It's a time of year to be giving. Maybe it's donating food. Maybe it's donating time or resources, helping others who are in need. Maybe it's giving God a gift. Maybe it's saying, during this time, I'm going to spend time with you every day. Maybe that's not a part of your normal habit, but you say, God, during this time of year, I'm going to spend a daily time with you. Maybe it's somebody you need to forgive that you've been holding on to a grudge. And you say, God, I've been holding on to this, and your word says that I'm to forgive others. So, God, help me to do that. And that's the gift that you offer. Maybe it's a habit that you've picked up that's not a good habit, and God's saying you need to lay that down, and maybe that's the gift you give to God this year, is laying down that habit and never doing it again. But the question this morning is, how can I focus on Jesus' arrival this year and not miss Christmas or get caught up in the consumerism of Christmas, but remember the actual purpose of why Jesus came to this earth? Remember the reason for the season that we celebrate, that Jesus came to this earth to be born as a baby, to live a life that was holy and pleasing to God, that he demonstrated who he was through the miracles he performed and the words that he spoke. He was God in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, our prayer this morning is that we wouldn't miss the true purpose of Christmas. Father, that we would remember that you were physically here. You came and you were born after you were born, there was joy filling the heavens, but there was a baby who was crying in a manger. There were parents who were excited to have this new baby boy, but the weight that was on their shoulders of the things to come. Father, the shepherds that were in fear because of the angels that appeared and they heard the great news. The wise men who began their travels to come find a king and worship him. Father, help us remember help us as we worship you, as we rejoice over the birth of your Son during this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we leave,